Welcome to Holden Village. In the Creekside room this afternoon, we're going to be listening to Kathy Sorrells. Her subject, creativity and spirituality, preparation. Let's listen in.
This week, and again, each day you can come or not come, but I do have a flow for the week. And what we're going to be exploring is creativity and spirituality. How we have been creative in our lives, how we are as human beings creators. If you are from the Judeo-Christian faith, you have a creator God, which is actually unique among religions. So we're going to be looking a little bit at that as far as the mythology behind creation and creating. But a lot of it, I think, during this week is going to be about accessing our own creativity. And we do have a project opportunity. Tomorrow we're going to be doing some clay work. And on Thursday evening, we're going to be having a raku firing, which is a very dramatic process where the clay pot is brought up to a very high temperature, about 750 degrees, in a very short period of time, in about 25 or 30 minutes. And then you quickly pull the pot out with tongs and stick it into sawdust, and it flames, combusts. And it cracks the glaze, and the carbon goes into the cracks, and then you can see the black cracking. The pot might crack too, and there's all sorts of other things that might happen in this process, which is part also of the creative process about letting go and that sort of thing. But we'll be doing that Thursday. So tomorrow, if you're interested in participating in the raku fire, and come tomorrow to do a pot. Yeah. So for during the week, hopefully we'll have an opportunity to do a project, to experience the creative process. And then thirdly, my intentions for the week are really to explore what's the relationship between creativity and spirituality. And there's a quote by Mary Daly, who is a feminist theologian, that I really like. And she says, "Why indeed must God be a noun? Why not a verb? The most active and dynamic of all." And in many ways, I do think of God as a verb and as a very much about an action, an activity. And that for me is the flow of creativity. I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on during the week. Hello. I forgot to tell Dave that we were rolling, but I guess he probably knows we're rolling, so. So in relation to creativity and spirituality, what does it mean to practice the art of creative living? What does that mean in our lives? If we were to practice the art of creative living. And then also another question that I have for myself is, what does it mean to practice your spiritual path through being creative, through creativity? What does it mean to practice your spiritual path through creativity? And another quote, and I don't know who said this, but I love it, so I'll just repeat it, is, "You have to learn to ask the questions before you can grow into the answers." So for me this week, a lot of what I'll be doing is putting up questions, and certainly inviting you all to ask questions of the group and of myself and of others. But how do we hold the questions so that we can grow into the answers? And I find that to be very much of a creative process. So to start, what I wanted to do is read a poem from you, and those of you who are familiar with me, not so many people in here have been in the other workshops, but one of my favorite poets is Mary Oliver, and I'm going to read a poem by Mary Oliver. She's an American poet, U.S. poet, and it's called The Sunflowers. And for me, in some ways, it asks some of the questions, and it calls us to a certain kind of attention that I'm hoping that we will bring to this class and to our days together. And the title of the poem is The Sunflowers. "Come with me into the field of sunflowers. Their faces are burnished discs. Their dry spines creak like ship masks. Their green leaves, so heavy and many, fill all day with the sticky sugars of the sun. Come with me to visit the sunflowers. They are shy, but want to be friends. They have wonderful stories of when they were young, the important weather, the wandering crows. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. Their bright faces, which follow the sun, will listen, and all those rows of seeds, each one a new life. Hope for a deeper acquaintance, each of them, though it stands in a crowd of many like a separate universe, is lonely. The long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy. Come and let us talk with those modest faces, the simple garments of leaves, the coarse roots in the earth, so uprightly burning. So I'm going to read it one more time, because as I read poetry, I feel it's a, sort of one of my rituals, that if we read it once, I'm going to read it again. The first time you just sort of get a sense of it, and the second time another layer of meaning comes. So I'm going to read it one more time. It's called The Sunflowers by Mary Oliver. Come with me into the field of sunflowers. Their faces are burnished discs. Their dry spines creak like ship masks. Their green leaves, so heavy and many, fill all day with the sticky sugars of the sun. Come with me to visit the sunflowers. They are shy but want to be friends. They have wonderful stories of when they were young, the important weather, the wandering crows. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. Their bright faces, which follow the sun, will listen. And all those rows of seeds, each one a new life. Hope for a deeper acquaintance. Each of them, though it stands in a crowd of many like a separate universe, is lonely. The long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy. Come and let us talk with those modest faces, the simple garments of leaves, the coarse roots in the earth, so uprightly burning. I'll just ask, before we move into our activity, if that poem or created any thoughts for you about creativity or about anything that you'd like to share.
I had a literal thought. We were on vacation last summer and drove by this fabulous fields of sunflowers. Mm. And we couldn't go by them without stopping going in them.
Yeah.
You know, just through the jungle.
Right. Aren't they amazing? I mean, they are like flowers that are human beings or something. Cause they rise so high. I was
as tall as we were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look what you're wearing.
Awesome.
Yeah. I didn't notice that until just now. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was at your house last year, taking Anya home from Holden Village, and I saw this picture.
Yes.
And so while she was reading the poem, I was thinking about the picture of you and sometimes the field, and realizing I hadn't seen you in a year, and thinking about all those sunflowers being the different days that have passed since I saw you. And yeah, it was very striking. Those pictures were beautiful.
Yeah.
The good art shots.
The good art shots, yeah. Mm-hmm. We divide our photos into regular photos and photos that I take, which are art shots. The rest are just recordings of, yeah.
Factual happenings, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yours are mystical experiences. Right. Right, creative mystical experiences.
I think it's just astounding that nature is so present. You know, there's always a progression of what nature's doing, but it's just so much there. And so when you say, you know, come into the sunflowers, it's kind of like the whole spirit of that poem is like an invitation to just come to the timelessness almost. I mean, for the nature, for the natural world, life just goes and it just is. And Mm-hmm. It seems like as people, we tend to really lose that.
Is there any other flower besides the sunflower that follows the sun around?
Oh, lots of flowers do that.
Yeah,
do
they?
Dandelions do that, I think, too.
They do.
I know that a lot of flowers like open up in the morning to face the sun, and then when it goes down, they close up.
Mm. Or they turn.
This one,
they turn on their stalks.
They
turn and they close up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Daffodils, most of those bulbs tend to face.
Biologists call it catching the rays. Technically.
Okay.
Which is one of the reasons I like this poem for this beginning this class, because I do believe strongly that accessing our creativity is like catching the rays. It's like turning our bodies towards the sun. And again, we can say that's turning our bodies towards God, if you would like to use that word, or towards creativity, or towards a verb that you might find that represents God. But as a sunflower, how do we turn ourselves towards that which gives us sun, that which fills us? Yeah. Well, I want to do a little exercise here, and you all are going to be very actively participating in it. What I need you to do is stand up now and find a partner. And somebody... if there's an uneven number, we'll just have to have a set of three. One set of three. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question, and I'd like one of the pair to think about, or both of the pair to think about the question, one of the pair to begin talking about the question, answering the question, and then I will ring the bell after a couple minutes, and then you exchange. So the person who is listening becomes a speaker, the person who is speaking becomes a listener. Then I'll ring the bell in a couple more minutes, and then I'd like you to find another person, introduce yourself, and I'll actually give you another question. So this is a way to get some information from you all to find out what has gone on in your lives in terms of creativity. Afterwards, we'll talk about it as a large group. But I'm just going to start by asking you the question to think about somebody in your life who you know who's very creative, how you would identify them as very creative, that you would identify that way, and some qualities and characteristics about that person. So how you would describe them. And share that with the other person, then I'll ring the bell, and you don't switch partners then, you just switch who's speaking. And don't feel like you have to talk until I ring the bell if you want to exchange.
So just talking to each other about it.
Talking to each other about it, yeah. Go.
Some ribbons.
Thank you.
Oh.
But, thank you for participating so eagerly. I figured you all could have just gone on until the end of the class. But I want to get some summary of what we learned, what you all talked about. Characteristics or qualities of creative people. I'm just going to write it down when you all tell me. Can you talk about her? Something new.
Anne said something really good. She said that creativity in her way of observing it in other people has been in many aspects within that person. So it's not just creative in one way, but that a creative person that she knows is
multifaceted.
Yeah. It's not like being really good at something, but instead it's not a
multifaceted
life.
Oh well. Not in creative spelling here, right?
Open.
Something to create something from nothing, or to construct in ways that maybe haven't been thought of before, to put together like four things in one.
In fact, there are lots of definitions of creativity or being creative, but the most sort of prime one that you can figure out through our language is to bring forth. To bring forth and form. To create.
Thrifty was one of the words, and this struck me as interesting because to use things in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
creative.
You know, the person that I know as well, I was just thinking about this, she's not afraid, like, mm-hmm. not to, like, if something doesn't turn out the way she wanted it, she's, like, kind of still works with it. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't want to say, like, so it's not, like, limited to perfection or something.
What was the last thing you said?
Not limited with perfection.
Uh-huh.
Not like, what, whatever.
Like risk-taking or vulnerable or...
Yeah, like, whatever comes out is fine.
Expressive, yeah.
Well, isn't that good?
Unconditionality.
I'm going to talk a little bit about risk-taking and getting past perfection tomorrow. That's going to be our focus, somewhat. But yeah, that's a big one. It's a very big one. Letting go of it being a certain form and letting what does rise, rise. And that doesn't mean you don't keep working at it to get it to a place that you have in mind, that you have an image of. But as it's happening, you have to let go of that sense of it being perfect.
Another quality that comes to mind for me is that there's a sense of unlimitedness.
Mm.
It's like, now, okay, I'm creative and it's all done. It's
ongoing.
Yeah.
Abundance, is that all right if I put that down?
Uh-huh.
Boy, but it does get spent sometimes.
Yeah, and that's the cyclical process, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was it that I said to you about that, like the cycle?
It was
an ebb and flow.
That was
definitely ebb and flow.
Any other qualities?
Accepting a challenge.
Well, we can add more as we go along. One reason I like to get this out is that I want everyone to look at this list and recognize, even without knowing you, I know that some of these qualities are a part of you, and others can be fostered, that creativity is not something that you're just born with or not. It's something that can be cultivated, and it's also something that we all have, we all are a part of. So these qualities that are up here are a part of all of you. Thinking about the creative process, if you all have any notions or thoughts from when you exchanged your stories about the creative process, your creative process, or observations of others.
I have one that can't be put in one word. It's getting the self out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to say anything more about that?
I'm not sure how to, that the rational mind gets in the way, so you have to,
mm-hmm.
you have to get it out of the way. And the ego.
Well, we talked about the other night, Kathy, the other day, about the fear of what others' expectations are. Mm-hmm. That really goes along with what she said, what she was saying. Measuring ourselves by those expectations or whatever, you know, you can't be in the process with that.
Also, we talked about taking the time and space,
mm-hmm.
That time space to allow for the process.
Mm-hmm. For the unfolding?
Yeah.
This is under the question of what helps the creative process within us. Was it?
This is under the question of thinking about ourselves in the creative process, maybe even thinking of the stages. You know, you thought of something you've created, so what were the steps that led you through a creative process?
Accepting help from other sources.
Mm-hmm.
Having time and allowing time just to be,
mm-hmm.
incubation.
So. Incubation. Which is part of what this, whoever said this, was time for it to unfold, but it's the incubation period, which is one of the stages in a creative process. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts about the process? There are lots of theories about the creative process. I overheard you saying something that you've either written or read, you've been reading about the creative process or something. There are a lot of people that have written and read about what are the steps and stages in the creative process. And I think that there are ones that can be identified. I think everyone has their own process and it's different. But I am designing this class around a process that I've identified in myself and others that I've worked with. The first stage being that of preparation, which is what the class today is about. The second, what I call and identify as mystery. It's also referred to as incubation. It's a time of letting go. It's a time of going into the unknown. It's a time of facing the fears about a lot of things. But it's saying, yes, I have some notion of what I'm doing, but I really don't know how it's going to come out. And it's staying with that unknown and letting it incubate. The third stage, what I'm identifying as the inspiration. And other people say, uh-huh. And that's the time when we go, oh, yeah, that's it. Fourth step is, for me, and others have called it different things, but is creation. So it's when you make it happen. And I'm sure a lot of you have noticed, you walk around and you see artwork, you see a book, you see a piece of wonderful weaving like Margot's doing, and you say to yourself, gosh, I could do that. But the creative person is the one that does it. The creative person is the one that says, makes it real, does it. And so there's a lot, you know, we can go through the stage and there's people I know, and I've been in this place before too, and I skip that step. I go back up to preparation and start doing the mystery and get inspired about things. But it's very necessary in the creative process to actually make it happen.
Unless you're a mime, then probably stop at inspiration. Do not.
Do not go into creation.
Do not go into
creation. There may be some exceptions. Right?
Thank you.
The final step, which I find absolutely necessary, because I don't believe this is a circular process, it's more of a spiral process. Mm-hmm. That we do the preparation, mystery, inspiration, creation, and then we do an assessment. How'd this turn out? Is this what I want? And would I like to do it differently? And often then we start over again with the same vision in some ways, but it's shifted a little bit, and we work on it a little bit more. We change it slightly. It may be the only time you do it. It may be the one and all. That's it, the last one. But it may have also triggered other ideas for something else. So we often do some sort of an assessment at the end of the process. Mm-hmm. Well, this week what we're going to do today, focusing on preparation, tomorrow on mystery, the next day on inspiration, and the next day on creation. We only have 4 days. And it's ridiculous to think of doing the whole creative process in 4 days, because often this is very extended period of time. It might be 4 years, it might be 4 months, it might be 4 weeks. But just to get a taste of the creative process, this is what I'm using as a creative model for this class for this week, is to go through that process and have a focus for each day. So, again, getting back to the process and the other question that I ask you, what helps you in your creative process? What assists you? Some of the things that are already up there is getting out of the way, letting go of your ego, letting go of your fears of others' expectations, taking the time, really going into the incubation period, which is actually a very challenging part of it for most people, is to stay with that unknown, to stay with the part that you don't know, and through the darkness, accepting help from others. And the other things we want to put up there as far as assisting us in the process, things that have helped.
Really nice tools.
Right?
No, whatever it is, great instrument, wonderful colors. For me, it's like really great paper.
Uh-huh. Colors. Materials.
Yes.
The thing that came up with me was lots of sense things. Touching materials, you know, like fabric material, touching my garden, you know, actually the sense of touch to me is a creative thing. And visually, to be visually in a realm that stimulates what I'm seeing does something in me.
I think, if I can expand on what you're saying, I think what you're talking about is feeding yourself with images and with tactile sensations, so that helps you then produce, it helps you, it's, as we feed our bodies to keep going, we also have to feed our creative spirit, I believe, and it, that can happen in many, many different ways.
But the touch and the visual things are essential part of creation.
Yeah.
And also the other thing was walking, movement, actual movement helps to kind of take away the distractions and actually get me into that flow that I really sense and the outcomes. You know, that's actually producing something, you know. And then I was also in getting clear of registrations I have towards my emotional life or my spiritual life. Or,
And these things can all be different for different people. They're not.
Well, I was surprised when those things came up in me, but they're a part of my creative process.
Challenge, particularly time challenge. Bet you can't do that in an hour. And the encouragement of other people.
Can you relate that word encouragement along with assessment a little bit too? When you were talking about assessment, you were saying it like from the first person, but they seem to indicate that sometimes the assessment comes from others as well.
Absolutely. And I think many of us
do it all very differently,
but get feedback from people. And sometimes we ask for it directly, sometimes we get it indirectly. But certainly a wonderful thing I found in doing my pottery is to, when things come out of the kiln, is the whole group just sits down and we talk about, well, what do we really like about this pot? You know, you feel it, you hold it, you turn it around, you try to use it, you do different things with it, and you talk about it. But you also talk about, well, what would you do differently? It's not so much what's wrong with the pot, because there's not really anything wrong with the pot, but how you might do something differently with it. And I've done that in writing. I'm sure you all do that in your writing workshops, where you're getting positive feedback.
Yeah, we get neutral feedback.
Yeah. Just think for a minute about either looking at this list, but ways that you can further encourage yourself to be creative in your life. What are some things, maybe a practice on a daily basis, that you might do to remind yourself of these, to hold these, to keep yourself in a way that will encourage your creativity?
Doing something that you've never done before every day.
Well, you might do it every, you might already do it. But for, I mean, I meditate, and that is a practice, and that does help me in accessing and unfolding my creativity. So if there are other things that you could do, it might even be just sitting and looking at this list, or a list that you make up for yourself every morning. But something that you might ritualize so that you did it every day, doesn't have to take a long time, it might take 5 minutes. It might be looking at the geranium in your kitchen window carefully. You know, but something that might help you do some of these things to encourage the creativity in your life.
When you read about writers, they say again and again that in order to write, you got to write.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You got to just sit down and start to tippity tap, 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 and don't look at the geranium, and don't go get the baker, and don't go get coffee, but just write.
Some of it, yep.
That's hard for me.
You have to do it.
You know, part for me is there's a dimension that scheduling out my time, and like the word unfolding is really meaningful to me right now. And just to kind of like, as it kind of breaks or just unfolds open, and it feels like there's a dimension that it kind of just happens by itself, or like it unfolds by itself. It's like, if I wanted to like get it to unfold a certain way, it just doesn't happen the way it naturally just flows out. Mm-hmm. And so just not being really regimented or just kind of strict in my routines or something, like, I don't know, just like letting go, like, you know, 5 minutes, like I'm supposed to be somewhere like on time or like 5 minutes early. It's like, oh, maybe I just put some, like, look at the flower or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like letting go of really sharp expectations for myself too.
We're going to talk about letting go a little bit more tomorrow, so maybe you can come. I want to share with you, and so a few of you have already seen this, is the Wood Carver. It's a poem, and I think I have enough copies for everybody. Again, we're focusing today on preparation. And this is a book, this is from a book of poems and stories by Chuang Tzu, who's a Chinese philosopher. And it was translated, actually not translated by Thomas Merton, but Thomas Merton looked at about 5 or 6 different translations.
I have a copy of it in my room. It's okay.
And
everybody wants to share with
it. Oh, there's a couple need to be sharing. Sorry. So Thomas Merton didn't translate this. He looked at 5 or 6 different translations and wrote the stories from those translations. And what I'm going to do is read it, and you all can follow through, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's he saying in here about preparation for the creative process. So the title of it's The Wood Carver. Hing, the master carver, made a bell stand of precious wood. When it was finished, all who saw it were astounded. They said it must be the work of spirits. The Prince of Lu said to the master carver, "What is your secret?" Hing replied, "I am only a workman. I have no secret. There is only this. When I began to think about the work you commanded, I guarded my spirit, did not extend it on trifles that were not to the point. I fasted in order to set my heart at rest. After 3 days fasting, I had forgotten gain and success. After 5 days, I had forgotten praise or criticism. After 7 days, I had forgotten my body with all its limbs. By this time, all thought of your highness and of the court had faded away. All that might distract me from the work had vanished. I was collected in the single thought of the bell stand. Then I went to the forest to see the trees in their own natural state. When the right tree appeared before my eyes, the bell stand also appeared in it, clearly, beyond doubt. All I had to do was to put forth my hand and begin. If I had not met this particular tree, there would have been no bell stand at all. What happened? My own collected thought encountered the hidden potential in the wood. From this live encounter came the work which you ascribe to the spirits." So comments or thoughts from reading this as to what his preparation was and what is meaningful in this that might help in preparing us in our creative process.
One of the thoughts that comes to mind for me is absorption, mm-hmm. like an extension of oneself.
Mm-hmm. But what comes to my mind is the lostness, becoming lost, mm-hmm. and that and having an unknown destination.
He got himself out of the way so it didn't blow the picture.
Right.
I looked at my own collective thought. I like that. Mm-hmm. Just the centeredness.
It's as if every aspect or of his vision or senses just were a bell stand. just seeing Valstan, smelling Valstan, and then that's just that focus produced a Valstan through him.
Almost like a preoccupation.
Right.
And he acknowledges the need that it was a co-created process. Because at the end he said, if I hadn't met that particular tree, there wouldn't have been a bell stand. So it's not as if he entirely by himself manifests this. It's his relationship with his medium. In this case, it was a tree. And which is another question I ask myself and want to ask you all is how do you develop a relationship with your medium? And again, your medium may be your life. Your medium may be writing, it may be fabric design, it may be gardening.
Your life.
Interesting. Just thinking, that just really speaks to my theology, believing that we're all co-creators with the divine.
Just getting more specific, because I think there's some real jewels in here that have to be dug out in some ways.
Yeah,
but
say that again.
In the second, I'm just going back to here. The second stanza, I think there's some really things in there that have been very helpful to me, and I think to others in their creative process. And some of them have already been named, as about forgetting about gain and success. I mean, that has been a continual thing for me about letting go of the need for it to be good. Or for anybody else thinking that it's good. Mm-hmm. The praise and criticism. It's a challenge. But.
Thomas Merton also wrote that all art is, this is a paraphrase, but all art is a prayer to God in finding the God within and creating. You become a co-creator, and a lot of that I think is in here in terms of also the word encounter has come up just this week terms of liturgy, and so encountering our spirit, encountering God's spirit in the world, and creating out of our hearts is a prayer, is a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. So, and all the imagery of fasting, and it's echoes our Christian heritage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ascetic, isn't he? Mm-hmm. It's an ascetic process.
It is an ascetic process, and I would like us to think about translating an ascetic process into our daily lives, not necessarily thinking of ourselves as monks or mystics, but in what ways do we prepare ourselves, or can we prepare ourselves? How can this be translated into our lives? Not that you're going to go fast for 7 days, but what does that mean? What does fasting actually do for you?